Good morning and welcome to Faith and Family. I'm Liz Hoffman, your host of the show. Faith and Family is underwritten by our friends at Concordia University, Wisconsin. You can check out their website and all the good things they have to offer. We have a link to Concordia on our website as well. You can check that out on kfuo.org. Well, this week on the show, we've been discussing something that affects each and every one of us. It can easily consume all of our thoughts and our energy, but we just can't do without it. We're talking about money. We've had a different expert every day with great advice on financial planning for college tuition and vacations, retirement, and even our beneficiaries. Now, I want to remind you that you, our listeners, get to be a part of this show. So call in or email your questions and comments for our expert. Those numbers in St. Louis, 314-505-7850, or if you're outside of St. Louis, 800-730-2727. You can also send us an email, family@kfuo.org. We would love to hear from you. Well, today our guest is a familiar voice at KFUO. His knowledge on money management within our families makes a great addition to our week-long discussion. He's the pastor at Hope Lutheran Church in St. Louis, Missouri, and he's also the host of His Time, our morning programming here at KFUO. Pastor Randy Asbury, welcome to Faith and Family.
Well, great to be with you here.
Great to be with you here, Liz. Good to be on your program. This is kind of interesting. I do my own program, then I come on another one.
Hey, it's all good. We're very happy to have you.
Although I do have to take issue with that word expert. I'm no expert in this. Just been there, done that kind of expert.
Okay.
Just so we're clear on that.
That's just fine. And happy Friday, by the way.
Happy Friday to you, too.
Well, and it is the weekend. Speaking of the weekend, this is often the time when we spend our money, and in many cases, lots of it. Perhaps taking your wife to a nice dinner.
Maybe. She likes that.
Yes, I'm sure she does. There's sporting events. There's new clothes to be purchased, especially in a new...
She likes that, too.
Yes. I can keep going, I'm sure. Now, especially this time of year, the sun starts shining. You start seeing people driving around in their nice sports cars.
I like that.
Yes, absolutely. It's very tempting for me and most people to join in with the world and maybe make that purchase of that convertible Mustang or maybe venture out on a weekend getaway. Just put it on a credit card and worry about it next month. Tell us how the world can easily be consumed with always wanting more.
Well, we are never satisfied. It goes back to that old thing of contentment. Are you content with what you have? And the answer is always no. We always want more. And we live in a culture where we see the advertisements, we see the billboards, the commercials, and they always appeal to that instinct in us that says, no, I want more. And then you add on top of that that we think we can have it right now. We must have that Mustang right now or that nice dinner right now. We must please ourselves right now. And we're going to spend the money we don't have just to do that. So that's really what's going on. We want to please ourselves right now. And you know, the amount of income we have, the amount of money we have in the bank is often irrelevant. Because we think, oh, wait, I need that right now. I need that now. See a theme developing here? We need it now.
Absolutely.
Right? You mentioned Financial Peace University by Dave Ramsey. Here's some interesting statistics from his curriculum materials that I have used before. Only 32% of Americans would be able to cover a $5,000 emergency with cash without going into debt for it. How do people pay for emergencies, like a trip to the emergency room or emergency surgery or the washer and dryer breakdown or the car breaks down? Well, they put it, as you said, on the credit card.
The good old plastic.
The good old plastic, right?
Yeah.
Here is another statistic here. A parenting magazine poll indicates that 49% of people could not cover even 1 month's expenses if they were to miss a paycheck. Right, we're living paycheck to paycheck, and we couldn't cover expenses if next week's paycheck didn't come. Right, that's kind of the situation we're dealing with here. According to U.S. bankruptcy courts, bankruptcies in 2005 totaled, get this, 2,078,415. And of those, only 79% were total or were Chapter 7 bankruptcies. So a lot of bankruptcies because people just keep spending and spending beyond their means.
Right. And what's the answer to that? Just file for bankruptcy?
File for bankruptcy. And I've known people who've said, oh, I'll just keep spending and I'll just file for bankruptcy and have it all cleaned away. Well, it doesn't get cleaned away. You know, and that's what Dave Ramsey talks about in his Financial Peace University. It's on your record, your credit report, and all that kind of thing. And it stays with you for years. I forget the number, 7 or 10, something like that.
I've always heard 7, but it's a number of years.
Right. And here's one for you. Total consumer debt hit $2.7 trillion in April 2006, the highest in history. So we hear all the time in the news that the government's in debt and all of the trillions there. Well, consumers are in debt up to their eyeballs as well.
Right.
So that's kind of the situation that we find ourselves in our culture.
Right. Well, tell us a little bit, what does the Bible tell us about money and spending?
Well, some people think the Bible doesn't say much about money at all, but really it does. You have passages like Proverbs 22:7 that talks about the slave is the borrower is slave to the lender, right? So when you borrow money, you know, just even putting it on your plastic, you are enslaved to that lender, that creditor, right? You have to do things that Citibank or Visa or Bank of America want you to do. Pay it back, a certain amount of interest, certain kind of fees. You are bound to them. And if I borrow from you, you know, say, Liz, I need $1,000. Can you loan it to me? Then that changes our relationship, too. You become the slave owner. I become the slave, right? So that's a little wisdom from Proverbs there. You also have a passage like Romans 13. This is just a little bit out of context here, but I think it still applies to money matters. Owe no one anything, St. Paul says. Then he goes on to say, except the debt to love one another. So that's really what he's talking about there, but it's a nice phrase as well for Christians to keep in mind. Well, anybody in general, but especially Christians. Owe no one anything. So and Jesus tells parables of managing money and putting money to good use, not hiding it in the field, things like this. So the Bible does talk about money, yes.
So would you say that people in general, they love money, or maybe they love the empowerment and the status that comes with it?
Yes. Both and. It really is a both and.
Right.
We like to accumulate the money. We like the power that comes with it, the status. We like what we can do with it. And that's what money is for. We do need to remember, according to biblical teaching, money is a gift from God.
Right.
It's not a curse. I mean, there are people that misquote the Bible when they say, well, money is the root of all evil. No, St. Paul said the love of money is the root of all evil. Money's just a thing.
Right.
And in fact, one illustration I've used over and over again is take any thing, any object you want. Let's say bricks, you know, clay bricks, and let's make that our monetary system, right? We wheel around a wheelbarrow full of red bricks and say, I have lots of red bricks. That's going to look kind of silly, isn't it? But if that's the exchange system, you know, get a bottle of soda for one brick, then that's your exchange system. That's all it is. It's simply a way of exchanging one good or service for another.
Okay, very good. Well, what are some problems that families have when they're focused more on material items than things that they should be focused on?
I would say families tend to want to live beyond their means. If they're making only $40,000 a year in their income, they want to live like they're making $50,000 or $60,000 or $100,000, right? They want the goodies. Families also don't know how to manage their money, right? They just kind of assume it's going to be there. They don't manage it. They don't plan ahead. They don't save. All of these kinds of things. All of that is part of managing your money. Well, do I put some aside for savings, or do I just spend it all this weekend on, you know, the wild fun stuff I can have between now and Monday morning?
Right. And I found it interesting that you said how many people would be in serious trouble if there were an emergency. And, you know, that's really sad.
Right, right.
They just don't have that set aside in case there is, and emergencies happen every day.
Exactly. Well, Grandma said, save for a rainy day, right?
Absolutely.
Well, we've learned not to do that.
Yeah.
In fact, somewhere I read that, you know, savings is way down in our American culture these days. You know, people just aren't saving. Well, that should be kind of square one to start with. Save money for that rainy day, for that emergency, because you never know when an emergency is going to happen.
Right.
And some people want to say, okay, well, why don't you be positive? You know, the, you know, emergencies aren't going to happen. You can, you know, control your life and everything. Well, kind of to quote a Dave Ramsey line here, I'm positive emergencies are going to happen.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
They will happen. The unexpected will always take place. That washing machine will break down when you need to do the laundry. That refrigerator will break down, or the car, whatever.
Right. Happened last week with me. I had a tire explode and Yes, had to get a new tire, and they said, well, your other one might as well be replaced as well. So there you go, two new tires. Not a huge expense, but yes, it's always something, and I certainly wasn't expecting that.
Right.
So now what about in marriages? Many marriages have problems over money as well. And a lot of them even lead to divorce over money. What are some of the typical experiences that you've had in this area?
Well, yes, money matters are probably the chief, or at least one of the chief reasons for marriage difficulties.
Right.
You might have one spouse who loves to spend money, buy clothes, buy food, buy, you know, you mentioned the sports car earlier.
Mm-hmm.
The other spouse might be a saver, a spendthrift, don't spend anything, right? Or communication is a big factor. Do both husband and wife know what the other is spending money on? Are they communicating back and forth? You know, and then they get the credit card bill and they're wondering, well, where'd this expense come from? Where'd this one come from? And then the big fight breaks out.
Right.
If they're not planning ahead, they're not getting ready for their children's college fund, they're not planning for the emergencies, they're not planning for retirement. And so communication breaks down. It turns out to be a big, big fight quite often. Maybe just balancing the checkbook. Maybe one person didn't write down an expense in the checkbook. All kinds of things like this.
I'm guilty on that one.
They don't have the same goals when it comes to their money. Uh-huh. Your husband wants to get ready for retirement. The wife doesn't. She's living in the moment. So all kinds of things creep in that are connected with money.
Now, I'm sure that you may have been guilty once or twice of going overboard, maybe spending, I don't know, buying Rachel something, the perfect Mother's Day gift. Is there a happy medium without getting carried away that still is acceptable in God's eyes?
A happy medium between what? Buying that present for my wife or not? Well, the thing is, husbands and wives need to work on these things together. Right. And yes, to get your first point there, yes, I'm guilty. I've been there, done that with a lot of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my wife and I were in debt up to our eyeballs. I'm not going to tell you the amount, but we were in debt and we were looking college for our kids in the face with hardly anything to help them out with at the time, and paying the credit card bills, paying this, paying that. And when we'd want little things like, you know, maybe furniture for the patio in the backyard,
right,
we couldn't just go get it because, oh, we got this bill, we got that bill, we got this, we got that, we got this, and we're just, you know, living from paycheck to paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
And then had the debt, and I still remember to this day when my wife and I were traveling to Columbia, Missouri, driving along I-70, we're talking about this kind of stuff, and she says to me, have you heard of Dave Ramsey? And I said, well, I've heard of him, I've seen him on one of the news channels. It was back in 2008, 2009. And he was on some news channels back then talking about the economy, how things were going sour in the economy. And so I knew the name, and the things I heard him say made sense. I knew nothing about this thing called Financial Peace University. So we were talking about it. We get closer to Columbia, Missouri, and changing the radio stations there, and just came across a talk station in Columbia. And lo and behold, who was on the radio? Dave Ramsey on his radio show. That's interesting. First my wife, now the radios. Am I trying to get a message through my thick skull here, or
sounds,
what?
Sounds like
so
it.
So we looked into it and went through the class ourselves and learned, you know, we can handle our money. We can manage it. We can get out of debt. There is hope. And that's one thing that families need to realize. You can get a hold of this thing called your money. And you really need to, because as Christians, I would say it's also a matter of good stewardship. You know, God gives you this gift of money. He wants you to have it, to use it, to love and serve your neighbor. Well, that starts in the home.
Right.
And so he wants you to be a good manager, good steward of that money. And that's one of the things that comes out quite nicely in Financial Peace University. We are simply managing what God has given us.
Well, and Randy, that is one of the reasons we wanted to have you on Faith and Family. Well, of course, it's because we like you, but also
well, thank you.
We also know that you are involved with the Financial Peace University. And now, this is a faith-based outreach tool as well. Is that right?
It is faith-based. Dave Ramsey is a Christian. He's not a Lutheran, but I'm not sure what denomination he really is. But he is a Christian, an evangelical Christian, we'll call him. So he does this from a biblical standpoint. But I do need to give a caveat here. Even though Dave Ramsey himself is not a Lutheran, I don't think there's much in here that good Bible-believing Lutherans would disagree with. Now, every now and again, he'll quote scripture for something that is taking it out of context or something like that. We might quibble over those kinds of things. But on the money matters, how to get out of debt, how to build wealth, how to give money away, those three basic principles there. He's very common sense, very simple, very down to earth. I like to say, if I would have learned some of this stuff 20 years earlier, life would have been a lot different.
Hmm. Well, maybe we can give this information out today, and there will be some people that
sure, we can unpack it, well. Give some hints and
right.
Teasers.
Well, tell us a little bit about the day that you went to this class. Tell us what you learned or what was some of the big items that they talked about.
Well, the big items, when we started this class, we did kind of the home study version at that time, just for other needs in the family. But when we started the class, we learned what Dave Ramsey calls the seven baby steps. Well, let me back up first. The three things I just mentioned before, get out of debt, build wealth, and give a lot of it away. Those are kind of the three overarching principles he's getting at here. And to do that, he talks about the seven baby steps, right? You've had children, Liz. I've had children. Many parents have had children. What's the one thing that the children have to do before they can walk or run?
Must crawl.
Must crawl, must take those baby steps. You take one step after the other. It's slow going at first, but that's all right.
Right.
That's why they're called baby steps. But you also take these little steps, and they make a big difference. And so let me run through those seven baby steps real quick. Here's kind of the overview of the Financial Peace University system or processes, if you will. Step number one, put $1,000 in an emergency fund, just right away, as quickly as you can. If your income is under $20,000 per year, make it $500 a year, right? So make a little baby emergency fund so you have something to fall back on in case the radiator breaks in your car or the tires blow out. You have something to go back to, right? You have a little cushion there, right? Just a baby one. Right, we're still going somewhere with this.
And this is true emergencies, not I've got to have those shoes.
Or yeah, it's not the emergency where you call Domino's and say, can I have pizza? It's a Friday night, and when the guy gets there with the pizza, oh, it's an emergency. Let's go find that emergency fund and get,
right.
Get the money out. That's not an emergency. Emergency, and if you're married, this has to be an agreed-upon thing with your spouse.
Right.
Only emergencies, and define what those emergencies are. Mm-hmm. Car breaks down, refrigerator breaks down, a leak in the roof, things like this. So $1,000 in the emergency fund. Step number two. And this is the biggie. Pay off all your debt except the house utilizing the debt snowball. And that's a separate lesson all by itself and very good, debunking myths, very funny, a lot of good humor in all of these lessons, but especially that one. But pay off the debt. And what's the debt snowball? Well, line up your debts, write them out in the amount you owe to different places like JCPenney, Citibank, Sears, Home Depot, wherever you owe money. Student loans, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
List them from the smallest amount to the largest amount on the balance, right? And then you pay those off. You work on that smallest one. Let's say I owe $200 to JCPenney, right? And then I owe $500 to Citibank. And then I owe $1,000 to student loans or something like that. I want to start with that small one. Pay that off as fast as I possibly can. And then, where the snowball comes in, when that's paid off, I will take that same amount of money. I'm not going to go throw a party because, hey, I paid one off. I'm still in debt, but I paid one off. We're going to take that same amount of money and apply it to the next debt, right? And then pay that one off as fast as we can. Then take that whole amount of money, apply it to the next debt. It just snowballs, right? And you get traction this way. one of the things that Dave brings out quite nicely is people say, well, shouldn't you pay off the ones with the higher interest rates first, or
right.
the highest fees?
That was my next question.
Okay, go ahead and ask it.
What about the interest rates, Randy?
Well, if the interest rates really mattered that much to you, you wouldn't have gotten into debt in the first place.
So, very good point.
So what we're doing here in this so-called debt snowball is we're trying to get these little victories, get some momentum going, right? We're trying to appeal to our behavior, not our heads, our hearts, not our heads, because our heads want to rationalize and say, well, let's take that higher interest one first, and even though it's $30,000 on that credit card or whatever, and we'll never get it done because it doesn't go anywhere,
right?
And so it's not just about the intellect, and if it were about the intellect, you would have been out of debt already. It's about kind of the heart, the behavior, the motivation, and if you can pay off those little guys, then you get that confidence. We can get this going.
Starting to feel like I'm doing something.
Yeah, I'm getting some traction here, you might say.
Right.
And then you start paying them off. And sometimes it might take a while. A year, 2 years. I've heard people say it took them 3 to 5 years to pay off certain debts. Just depends how big your income is versus how big your debt is.
Right.
What you can throw at it. And by the way, all of this time you're paying off this debt, you're living on as little as possible. You're not going out to eat. You're not stopping for a $5 cup of coffee on the way to work every morning. You're not buying a new car and saying, well, I'll just add that to the snowball. No, you're saying, okay, we're going to stop going into debt. We're not going to borrow any more money. We're going to use the money we have. We're going to make a budget, right? Which is simply a plan. It's not a straitjacket. It's a plan.
Right, right.
Plan what you're going to do with your money. And then, you know, pay your bills, pay your house, your rent, your mortgage, your food bills, your clothing, your transportation, the things you need to keep going. But then, as best you can, start paying off these debts, right? And live as frugally as possible with, you know, as little expense as possible.
What do they suggest when things come up that might be bigger ticket items? Say the car is, something's going on, transmission, possibly it'd be in your best interest, or it might be better to trade it in. But then again, you're going to be adding debt. If you don't, you're going to be talking a couple thousand or more to get a repair.
You're not necessarily talking debt. If you have a big expense for repair, like a transmission or something major like that, then maybe you need to consider getting a different car. I didn't say new car. I said different car. Buy another used car that you can afford. You know, maybe save up for a couple months, you know, $500,000, $2,000, whatever it takes to get even a beater. And that's okay. That's okay, because you're not going to be in that car forever.
Right.
Right. That's just a tool. That's just a thing. But you get that and just pay for it up front, so you're not adding to your debt with car payments. That's one of the myths that Dave has to debunk is
right. Everybody
needs a car payment. No, not everybody needs car payment. You don't need that. You can buy a used car, and it will work just fine.
Mm-hmm.
Might not look the greatest. People might laugh at you when you come to work, but hey, you're just passing through here. Dave Ramsey's line throughout all of these lessons is, we're going to live like nobody else so later we can live like nobody else. Right? So we're going to look funny. We're going to act weird. We're going to be weird. We're going to make strange choices in the minds of people around us. But hey, we're getting out of debt, and that's what's most important. So we can build wealth and be good managers of the stuff God gives us.
That is
so getting out of debt is that big, big factor there.
Great advice. Well, you're listening to Faith and Family here on KFUO. We're talking with Pastor Randy Asbury, host of His Time here on KFUO. If you have a financial question or comment for Randy, or maybe you'd like to share a story of your personal spending or saving habits, give us a call, 800-730-2727. We're going to be addressing those questions and comments coming up on the second half of our show. We're going to go to a short break here. We will be right back. And when we do get back, we will continue this discussion on our financial planning. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Faith and Family here at KFUO. I'm Liz Hoffman. We're discussing money management this week. Just to recap on our great week that we've had, Monday, David Wagenke of Thrivent Financial gave tips for investing in today's world. And on Tuesday, Becca Jones told us all about the Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Wednesday, attorney Jim Dankenbring gave advice on writing wills and trusts. And then yesterday, we talked with Pastor Nathan Metter about the biblical perspective of how our money should be managed. Now, if you missed out on any of our shows this week, no worries. Just get on our website, kfuo.org. You can click on Faith and Family Archives, and you can listen to the entire show at any time that you like. We also have links to those experts' business websites as well. Now, coming up Monday on Faith and Family, we'll be talking about something else that we never seem to have enough of, and that is our time. We'll share some tips on how we can better manage our time so we're able to enjoy those things that God has given us. So join us Monday on Faith and Family at 11 o'clock. Now, we would love for you, our listeners, to get in on today's discussion. If you have a question or a comment for Randy, give us a call from St. Louis 314-505-7850 or outside of St. Louis 800-730-2727. You can also email your questions or comments to family@kfuo.org. Now, Randy, you were discussing the different steps of the Financial Peace University. I think you had just finished with step two. What is the third step?
Okay, let me recap here a little bit.
Sure.
They're called the seven baby steps. And again, take little baby steps so you can kind of walk before you can run on these money matters. And before I recap here, I do need to say, many people, I've taught this class three, maybe four times, and some people think, okay, well, that's a good idea, but I'm going to tweak it over here a little bit or tweak it there. I just like to give this piece of advice, wisdom, whatever you want to call it. If you do it, it works. If you follow the steps in order, the way Dave's teaching them, they work, right? And you do have to do them in order. We'll explain that here in a moment. But
okay.
So step number one, put $1,000 away in an emergency fund. That's just a little baby emergency fund. Give you a little security, a little soft cushion there in case something happens while you're going through this process, especially the next step.
Right.
Step number two, pay off all your debt except the house. Save the house for later, but all of your debt, including things like credit card bills, department store bills, car payments, student loans, you name it. Whatever is debt, whatever you owe to somebody else, pay it off. Put it in there. Order it in terms of the lowest balance up to the highest balance, then go in that order from lowest to highest.
Okay.
And then roll that money over. Once you pay one off, put the same amount of money to the next debt and so on. And then step number three is go back and build up your emergency fund to 3 to 6 months' expenses in savings. Right. So now you're going to go back to that baby emergency fund and you're going to make it grow up. You're going to build it up to 3 to 6 months' expenses in savings. So let's say you have $5,000 of expenses a month. That's
okay.
your house, that's your food, that's your clothing, that's just your utilities, gas. Yeah, we're not talking car payment by now. That's paid off.
Right.
Things like this. Whatever you need to live on. 3 to 6 months, so get that emergency fund up to, in this illustration, $15,000 to, well, that'd be $30,000. Do my math real quick here, right? So you have a nice cushion there. And then, again, you have to agree, you and your spouse, or if you're single, you have to make up your mind, maybe with a partner to help you out, say, okay, I'm not going to use that money for anything except emergencies. And you would be amazed at how much peace that gives.
Hmm.
Oh, I've got, let's say, $15,000 in the bank. And I'm not using it for anything except emergencies. Now, you don't go touch it for the pizza or for a new car or things like this. Those you save up for.
Right.
That's part of this instruction program as well. But set aside 3 to 6 months' expenses in a saving, just a simple savings account or a money market account. Don't tie it up because you might need to get to it, but also don't dip into it. And you're not looking for the best interest rate. Sometimes people say, oh, well, if I put it over here in this stock market, I'll get more interest on it. Well, that's not what the emergency fund is for. It's just to be there for you for that rainy day, that unexpected thing that happens.
And so we understand the meaning of the Peace University.
That's right. All of this is geared toward giving that peace. Oh, I can manage my money and I don't have to owe people and worry and fret about paying bills. And when you do the budgeting, every dollar has a purpose. Every dollar has a name before the month begins, Dave likes to say. You put everything with a purpose there. If your income is $5,000 a month, you say, all right, all that $5,000 is spoken for before the month begins, and then you just execute. That gives peace as well.
Right.
So, all right, step three, 3 to 6 months, expenses and savings. Now, I do need to pause here and say these first three steps have to be done in order.
Okay.
Not at the same time. One after the other.
Kind of like you said, baby steps. Don't feel like it's overwhelming, because if you look at the whole picture, it could be overwhelming. One step at a time.
That too. It's overwhelming if you're trying to do everything all at once, mm-hmm. right? We live in a culture that's ADD. We're distracted by all kinds of things, trying to juggle so many things. No, you just focus on one thing at a time. Step one, when that's done. Step two, when that's done, then step three. Another reason... you do that is because if you're going in all kinds of different directions, you're not going to make headway.
Right.
You're not going to get out of debt. You're not going to save up that emergency fund. Okay, so these first three steps have to be handled one after the other, in order.
Mm-hmm.
Don't move them around. Don't say, I'm going to set aside 3 to 6 months before getting out of debt. No, you need that money to get out of debt, because when you're not paying the banks or the credit card companies or the car places or the student loans, you have more money to do things with, like save and live.
Right.
Step number four, now we can start doing a couple things at the same time. Step number four, invest 15% of your household income into Roth IRAs and pre-tax retirement plans. In other words, Liz, if I'm talking to you and your husband, I'll say, okay, then after you're out of debt, after you have your emergency fund, start planning for retirement. 15%. And you'd be amazed, just put that in mutual funds. Dave likes Roth IRAs. Those are after-tax dollars, so you're not going to get taxed on it. You want to look for things that are favorable to you and not going to get taxed at the drop of a hat here.
Right.
But this is long-term. This is not your savings account at the bank.
Right.
This is long-term, where you leave it in for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, as long as it takes until you retire,
mm-hmm.
right? Because that thing called interest will start to mount up, and the more you're putting in, the more the interest will be there.
Right.
Now, some people may say, oh, I don't want to get into the stock market. That goes up and down, up and down. Well, if you work with somebody good who knows what they're doing, they'll steer you toward, say, mutual funds, Roth IRAs that are from companies that are stable. And Dave has a whole plan on this, how to divide that up. I don't know if we have time to go into all that detail here.
Right.
I'd have to refresh my memory on it. But you can do it in a way where you just keep putting your money aside in those funds, and if the economy is going up or down, you're not worried about it. You're looking at the long term.
Right.
You're not going to pull your money out right away if the economy tanks tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You're in it for the long haul. And so that's what step number four is. Plan for that retirement. Step number five, and this can happen at the same time as step number four, but really four needs to come first. Right. Step number five is college funding. Right. Then after you've done the retirement planning, then start saving for your kids' college. And I can imagine your mom, you're thinking, well, wait a minute, why put myself before my kids? Well, because they can always have a part in their college planning as well. That they can work through college.
Sure.
But see, you need to start planning on retirement, and unless you want to go live with your kids when they're done with college.
Right.
That's what we threaten our kids with.
There you go.
We have to start planning on retirement so we don't come live with you. So college funding, and he talks a lot about that, what kinds of accounts and things to do for college funding. You have to figure out, how far it is before your children get to college, or how long it will be. If they're 2 years old, you have a lot more time than if they're 16 years old, right? That sort of thing. So you have to do the best you can. And in that lesson, Dave talks about, you don't have to go to the most expensive college. You don't have to go to the the Ivy League school or, right. or the private school. You can go to different colleges because they'll give you very similar kinds of education, right? So you don't have to go for the high premium cost college. But at the same time, he'll tell you that, well, the students don't have to go into debt when they go to college. Oh, it's so expensive. Well, yes, it can be, but there's this little thing called work that students can do as well. And that's what we've encouraged our children to do, too.
And a good lesson for them, too.
Indeed, indeed. And I'm impressed with the many stories I hear of students who have done that. They take a semester off to go work, or they're working while they're going to school. Or they're going to school part-time, working part-time. But they get through it, and they are so grateful for that experience of working, learning that discipline, that, right. that service, but also going to school, getting the education. And guess what? When they're done with that, they come out debt-free.
Wow. And to not have the student loans and, that appreciation has to be worth so much.
Right. Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
That's great.
So step four, invest 15% of your household income into Roth IRAs, pre-tax retirement plans. You know, maybe it works with your company. They have something you can get involved there, matching funds, that sort of thing. Step number five, college funding, helping your children get ready for college. Step number six, pay off your home early. Notice home was not in the debt snowball. So now we're coming back to that and going to pay off the home.
Mm-hmm.
And so pay it off early. Start paying more than just the minimum payment.
I was going to say, with all of the other debt that you don't have anymore, you should be able to put a lot more into
right,
that.
Right, right. Now you have money you can use to put into your home and pay it off early. Dave recommends things like 15-year mortgages, no adjustable rate mortgages, because those adjustable rates, you know, they get you in on that low rate, but guess what? That rate
right.
adjusts. You know, and that's what happened with the housing crisis a few years ago. Right, those rates, those interest rates went mm-hmm. up, and people couldn't make the payments, and so the bottom dropped out of the whole housing market.
Right, that right? can
because
be
that
very
was
scary.
But if you get a fixed rate, you know what it is, right? But then you pay more than that, and you're paying it off early as much as you possibly can, right? And Dave has a lot of facts and figures where if you get the 15-year mortgage as opposed to the 30-year, you're actually spending less money in the long run on your house than that longer period of time. So might be bigger payments for a 15-year mortgage, but you're not going to be paying as much interest and for as long a period of time.
Definitely.
So, and step number seven, here's the biggie. Here's the great one. Build wealth and give. Learn to give it away. When you're totally debt-free, mm-hmm. not a credit card in sight, you've chopped them up like Dave suggests, and I know that's hard for some, but hey, we did it and you can live. When you get rid of that, get rid of the student loans, get rid of the car payments, you have money to do things with. When you get rid of the house payment, you have money to do things with. You can build wealth and give. Get ready for that retirement, and you can give a lot of wealth away. And the stories on this are amazing. People can start to build their wealth, and they can help other people out. You know, they can help other people go through Financial Peace University or pay off their debt or, you know, help some young person through college or things like this. Help your church, help your community, all kinds of different things you can do. And that's part of being a good steward, good manager of God's gift of money.
Right. Does he talk about, a set amount of time if you start this, say, when you're in your 20s or 30s? I guess, does it depend on how much debt you've acquired?
Well, he would recommend you start as soon as you can. You know, get involved in the class and start this ASAP as soon as possible.
Right.
Right. If you're younger and get out of debt, and say you're in your mid to upper 20s, and say you're out of debt, you have a decent income, maybe a nice income, or, you know, husband and wife have a nice income. If you have no debt, you can set aside a good amount of money for retirement. You can pay off the house early, get out of that debt as well. And think of what you can do with your money. You're going to be a millionaire by the time you're 60, 70, right? You'll have lots of money in the bank for retirement. You'll have
right.
lots of money that you can use for helping people out or just enjoying life, going on that cruise you've always wanted to go on.
Right.
You know, and that's that peace thing there. You can handle that money. You're not scrambling to pay off everything and wondering, oh, when can I ever do these things? So it's pretty amazing. And Dave shows all kinds of facts and figures of how if you save over time, it really adds up. I'm trying to look for one example he gives
if,
here.
If you want to get involved in this discussion, maybe you have a question or a comment for Randy. He's talking about the Financial Peace University through Dave Ramsey's program. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Maybe you have a personal story of your own. We would love to hear that. 314-505-7850 or outside of St. Louis, 800-730-2727. You can also email your questions or comments to family@kfuo.org. Now, I was also thinking about all the extras at that time after everything is paid off and we went through the plan, travel and the extras. There still needs to be a happy medium, though, to keep it pleasing, I guess, in God's eyes. Maybe elaborate on that a little bit for us.
Happy medium with what?
With how much do you, you know, what do you spend? Is it okay to travel and see everything that God has given us in the world? Or is there still a feeling of we still need to, I guess, be reasonable and give to charity and to help others as well?
Well, it's really what you plan to do. I mean, if you're out of debt and you have a decent income, you know, you plan, you know, giving to your church, giving to your community center or charities you want to support. You can also, you know, your living expenses, right? You're living in a house that might need remodeling every now and again. Or you can buy a car with just cash. Maybe not brand new, but you know, buy a car with just cash and, hey, still no debt.
Sure.
So you just make these decisions as you go along here. And if you're married, husband, wife are doing these things together, right? Making these decisions together. You know, one's not going off doing his/her thing or her own thing,
right?
So I guess that might be the happy medium you're looking at. You're not just out to live a lavish lifestyle. You know, it's not lifestyles of the rich and famous here, but you're going to live maybe comfortably, be able to give money away, help other people out, support projects, maybe run your own business, put more money into your business, these kinds of things. And so that's really the happy medium, and that's part of managing God's gift of money there. If I can go back to the saving thing you mentioned before here.
Sure.
Dave tells a story in his first lesson, which is on saving. He tells the story of Ben and Arthur. I guess they're friends or something here. They both save $2,000 per year at 12%. Now, that's a figure Dave uses quite often. It's kind of the average on the stock market. He talks about over time, not this year or this month, but over time. He says, Ben starts at age 19 and stops at age 26, right? So for, 8 years, 19 through 26, he's setting aside $2,000 in an investment, like a retirement account or something, right? Arthur starts at age 26. So Arthur's spending that age, that time from 19 years old to 26 years old, having fun, going to college, whatever he's doing, right? He's not saving money. Well, then when he's 27, he starts setting aside $2,000 a year, right? Ben has stopped saving.
Mm-hmm.
Arthur's starting at age 27. So Arthur is saving $2,000 from age 27 to age 65, so almost 40 years, right? Now, with interest the way it works and that investing, Ben, he only put in for those 8 years. By the time he gets to 65, he has $2,288,000 in the bank or in his investments,
wow.
Right? Arthur, who started at age 27 and saved for a lot more years,
right,
has $1,532,000. So he has a lot less because he started later.
Yes.
Right? So that was one way Dave says, well, start as soon as you can. Right? Now, if you're like me in your mid-40s when you do this, well, you got to do what you got to do. Make the best of what you can, and you still do it and work it, and things will turn around financially for you.
Well, that is such an eye-opener. And,
yes.
And that small amount, I mean, almost anyone can put that much away. And the thought of it snowballing like that every year, that's just amazing whenever you put that in the big picture, I guess.
Right. And $2,000 a year is a whopping $167 a month.
Right, and you can break that down into a month. Put it in a savings account and just say every month, that's what I'm going to
put
away.
This is probably invested in something like a mutual fund, which earns more interest than at your bank. But $167 a month for just these 8 years, and boy, Ben made out like a bandit, didn't he?
I would say so. You break that down into weeks, that's, you know, what, maybe one night out of dinner out or something.
It's amazing what you can save if you decide you're not going to get that $5 cup of coffee on the way into work.
Yes, definitely.
Or don't eat out at McDonald's this week, or maybe this month, or, well, the whole time you're in debt, obviously, because you can't afford restaurants while you're in debt.
Right.
Trying to get out of debt.
Right.
But you can save a whole lot of money changing your lifestyle like that.
Right. Wow.
But again, like I said before, you do it, it works. For a while, you're going to seem weird to your friends, maybe your family, maybe your coworkers, but you're doing this stuff to get out of debt, to be a better manager of God's gift of money.
Right. And then all of a sudden you start hearing about, oh, they're doing this or they're able to do that. They've got their home paid off.
Right.
How did they? And you're, you're wishing you were in their shoes then.
Exactly. And when you don't have any debts, when you aren't making car payments or paying off the credit card bills or trying or paying the minimum balance or whatever, minimum payment, you can do things with your money. You can give to your church. You can help people out. You need, $100 for, this. Well, here, let me write you a check. I mean, the freedom you have is just amazing.
And the peace that comes
with peace,
that.
Right. When you're not staring those credit card bills every month in the face, it's very peaceful. I will guarantee you that.
Very good. Well, Randy, maybe if you could just recap those steps again for us. I think that's
really
helpful.
Let me find my notes here again. All right. Step number one, $1,000 in an emergency fund, a baby emergency fund. If your income is $20,000 per year or less, make it $500.
Right.
Just a little fund. Step number two, here's the biggie. Pay off all your debt except the house using the debt snowball. Start with the smallest debt. Go up to the largest one. Put them in order. Go in that order. I know it doesn't make intellectual sense, but you're looking for those success stories, those victories as you go along, and that will give you momentum.
Okay.
Step number three, 3 to 6 months expenses and savings. It might be $12,000 or $20,000, whatever, but in a savings account for emergencies only. Step number four, invest 15% of your household income into mutual funds, Roth IRAs, pre-tax retirement plans. You'll start planning for retirement, in other words. Step number five, college funding, save for your kids' college. Step number six, pay off your home early. And step number seven, build wealth and give. You know, God made us to be givers, just like he is.
Right.
And if you're in debt, you can't give. If you're paying off those student loans, you can't give like you might want to. You can't support those causes you want. Can't support your church like you want. But get out of debt, you can build wealth and give a lot of it away, and that's why God gave you money, to serve other people.
Right. And what is the thing that you said? If you do it, it works?
If you do it, it works. That's my line. Dave Ramsey's line is something like, we're going to live like no one else, so later we can live like no one else. But I say, do it, and it works. It's just good common sense, good wisdom, and it fits quite nicely with the wisdom of the Bible.
Great. Do you think a lot of people maybe get hung up on step number two? Or do you feel like it is?
They could, because it might take a while.
Mm-hmm.
For some people, it might take a couple of years, but you have to be disciplined, and you have to kind of go after it, go get it, right? But you're working at it. You're climbing out of that hole. And to borrow more money to do it, you're just going to dig the hole deeper, right? And so all kinds of things like debt consolidation kinds of loans, they really don't help because you're just digging the hole deeper. Use the income God gives you, and you can get out of debt.
Okay. Well, Randy Asbury, we thank you so much for joining us today on Faith and Family. You have been great, given us great advice, and it's very much appreciated. I think that our listeners have also gained a lot from listening to this.
I hope so.
Yes. Well, we will put this on our website and a link to the Financial Peace University so that if people have questions or if they want to get involved in this, they can do that as well. We thank you all for joining us on Faith and Family today. And we'll be back on Monday talking more about things we don't have enough of our time. Thank you so much for joining us on Faith and Family. We'll be back on Monday.